Boy, a great night for dinner at Original Joe's, whether it's North Beach, Westlake, or Little Joe's at 15th and West Portal in San Francisco. Bruce Jenkins, how are you?
Great, Marty. How you doing?
Very well, very well. Posey not in the lineup tonight, the back stiffness, I guess. And very quickly, it's Wade, Yastrzemski, Flores, Dickerson, Crawford, Solano, Duggar, Casale, and Alex Wood tonight. And I have no problem with sitting Posey. As I tweeted out, a 4.5-game lead, it's June 26th. If the back hurts, don't push him.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you had to get him all the way right and maybe even wait a couple days after he appears to be all the way right just to make sure. I mean, Casale has been such a godsend. It's not like, oh, my God, we're going to go with the backup catcher. This could be a real drag. I mean, he catches games. It tends to be a shutout. He's got an amazing record of catching shutouts, not just handling the staff, but you know, catching games where nobody does anything against the Giants, and his offensive numbers are terrible. But he's as we've said, he looks like a hitter up there. He's not hopeless, and then he'll do something like jack the ball out last night in a huge game. They needed the run very badly, so you know he looks like he could go you know for a full week or more indefinitely, really, as the team's catcher. And they always seem to pick up whoever's out.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. He passed the test last night. He caught maybe the toughest guy on the staff.
Yeah.
A guy who will shake off Yogi Berra and Roy Campanella. you know, really.
Yeah,
and he'll shake everybody off, and Casale brought him through with the changeup.
Yeah, and we saw with Joey Bart last year how difficult that can be. I mean, more often than not, if you're coming in and catching this guy for the first time, you're not going to look too good. And, you know, Bart didn't, and that's – it was understandable, but Casale is just he's a next-level kind of defensive catcher. I think we've seen enough of him to make that statement. And really tremendous, yet another great find by the Giants. And I wouldn't call it the scrap heap because they come up and they're a lot more than scrappy.
Yeah, very good. No, he's a big part. He's going to be my difference maker of the week. I think he's made a difference. I really do, the way he's played. Hey, last night, of course, they win at home 2-0, and now it's Montas tonight and Alex Wood. Wood has been a little shaky. Bruce, that starting rotation, and this is only June 26th, 75 games played now. And I wonder, that starting rotation, it worries me just a little bit because we really have two full, tough months ahead.
Yeah, well, I think they have to be like more than delighted with Gausman and DeSclafani. I mean, you've got two guys right there. They're just exceptional. Cueto was great. You know, that's I have no problem throwing him out there in a big game. And we'll see about Wood, but I don't think there's anything wrong with his arm. He had a little problem with his command. But I think, you know, he's still a good lefty, and that's four guys right there. You've got Aaron Sanchez on the injured list, which is a bit troubling. But what if Sammy Long can step in there? I think you're right, but I think also how many teams are five strong where they're just, well, we're good. You know, we don't need any help. And I think they're, at the very least, they're three strong, and they still have a good shot at going top to bottom with good starters.
25-10 at home. That's 7-14. You know, you win 56 games of 81, and, you know, you win 40 on the road, and I'll see you in the playoffs.
Yeah, and, you know, they did most of this, virtually all of it, with half-empty or totally empty stands where the home advantage was pretty negligible, really. I mean, now all of a sudden, after last night, people are out there totally enjoying themselves. It looked at least 37,000. Every time you saw a shot of the crowd, people were packed, and oh my gosh, it's so welcome, and the players have commented on it, how they're feeding off the energy, and that's not going to stop. I mean, well, you've got a team that's like they're 4.5. As we look through the window of baseball, I'm trying to find the Dodgers. I guess there they are. They're 4.5 out, but and so are the Padres. But to have the team be in a race only makes it more likely that you know these crowds are going to be consistent and really really help the Giants.
This is going to be a good race. I'm telling you, this will one. The Dodger pitching, they're going to get healthy. They're going to get healthy. And the Padres are making it happen again. They go up and down, but they've got a superstar there. I want to bring this up about baseball and the timing of baseball. And Scott Osler wrote a great column. It's online already for tomorrow. Don't miss it. But Rob Manfred, he just comes up with decisions at the wrong time. The All-Star uniform, he's sending it back to 1933, the blue and white uniforms that John McGraw wore back then. Yeah, really, that's what they did in the first All-Star game. I think they had the uniforms like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, he's got umpires checking pitchers right at the end of an inning instead of going in a dugout and checking pitchers. He's got pitchers taking their pants off right on the field. And then on the other hand, we've got Tatis, just an amazing superstar. We've got Schwarber doing things that no one ever did before. The Frank Howard kind of stuff of hitting home runs. You got Nola striking out 10 in a row. This is baseball is really happening right now, and Manfred can't get out of its way.
Yeah. Well, we've seen this so often through the history of the game. Many, many commissioners have done things where you'd swear they're trying to wreck the game, but it can't. It cannot be wrecked. It can't be killed. And it always comes back to, I mean, you spend the day, you know, grousing about the inept execution of this sticky stuff crackdown, like you say. You know, to have the checks on the field is just comically wrong. To allow a manager to disrupt the game like Joe Girardi did, no, mm-hmm. that cannot happen. Not in the middle of an inning. And the thing with the All-Star uniforms is so lame. It's so impossibly dumb. I still can't believe it's actually going to happen. And I'd like to think there'd be some kind of outcry from everyone, the players, the fans, the media, the other executives, to strip the players of their identity where, you know, all of a sudden everybody's Trip Cromer, you know?
Yeah, that's the deal. That's exactly right.
Yeah, and but then the sun goes down. And you watch your team, and then you watch Quick Pitch later in the night. And by the time you go to bed, you go, "God, this is what a season!" You know, mm-hmm. I mean, and that's kind of the overriding factor for me. But you can only imagine having a really thoughtful commissioner who played the game and knows it and has felt it, good and bad, and doesn't come in from the labor side with really no idea about anything on the field. I know that's probably dreaming a little bit too hard, but it would be nice.
Well, this is a fabulous week of baseball, and I thought Ohtani and Gausman lived up to the game was crazy. I mean, we had a catcher, you know, a third-string catcher catching at the end of the game, and pitchers pinch hitting. I mean, the game was nuts, but Gausman and Ohtani lived up to their part.
Well, yeah, you know, that's the thing. I mean, you talk about, well, geez, you know, with a with the crackdown on substances, that the spin rates are going to go down, nobody's going to pitch great. Well, you know, there you have a complete masterpiece. I mean, Ohtani, who hit another Titanic bomb last night, couldn't figure out Gausman's splitter. It was a great thing to see him really, even after looking at it, he still had no idea what was going on there. And, you know, on the flip side, you know, they say, well, you know, nobody's the hitting is down, but you have these phenomenal hitting shows by Schwarber and Tatis, and it's just all across the board. You know, that's just watching the Giants, how consistently well they hit. So it's a terrific show. I mean, and anytime you have a guy Talkman, if you strike out five times in a night, you're probably going to call that really not a good night, like maybe the worst night of your life. And yet he hits a huge homer, and nobody remembers it. I mean, that's a great Giants thing, one of many.
Yeah, it's 112 home runs for the Giants, the most in the league. We're going back to 1947. We were bringing Willard Marshall back and Walker Cooper.
Yeah.
And people
Bill
like
Rigney
that.
Even.
Yeah, that's right. And Lucky Lorkey.
Johnny Mize.
That Johnny Mize is a good one. I said Sid Gordon. I'm not sure if he was on the team or not. But, hey, how about one guy we should not overlook, and that is Juan DeFranco made his debut this week, and he looks like another Tatis-type superstar.
Yeah, we've been hearing about this guy for a couple of years as the number one prospect, and the, you know, the Rays were very careful about completing his development. And that, you know, when they brought him up and traded Adames, that's a big deal for two teams because Willie Adames is a hell of a player.
Yeah.
He's very, very energetic. He's a team guy. He's got a ton of enthusiasm. He's been great for Milwaukee playing shortstop there. He doesn't have Franco, you know, the specter of him looming over his game. And then now Franco takes over for the Rays and hits a home run in his first game. He looks good defensively. The game is really, really healthy, and that's going to be yet another new player to watch.
That one of the great moments, I love what Mark A. Simon says of Twitter. Will be on later, but, he always comes up with things. But in the Tampa Bay-Boston game, I don't know if you saw this on Quick Pitch, but they were in extra innings, and the Phillips was on second base for Tampa Bay, and Boston ended up walking the next batter to set up the double play. Well, for some reason, Phillips forgot, and the ground ball was hit to third. He didn't go. He went back to second. I mean, really, you see something at the ballpark every day. Yeah, I swear to you, you see something different every day.
Yeah, the base running's been terrible. I think the Yankees, of all teams, have run into more outs on the bases than anybody. And you see it just way too often. A guy on second, and the ball's hit right in front of him to the third baseman or to the shortstop, where he has no chance of getting – but he just runs anyway, and he gets thrown out of third, embarrassingly, and there goes the rally. Guys, disregarding a sign and getting thrown out by a million miles, but – oh well.
It was a good
one. It's upsetting, but the overall is still great. And like you say, it's always you never know. I mean, that wild game against the Angels. What, the Giants get 7 runs on 2 hits there at one point? I mean, come on.
Well, Talkman ended up the day. Michael Scardino just sent me a text that Talkman ended up the day. His OPS for the day was 834. 5 strikeouts and a 3-run homer. So
yeah.
That's what it was all about. I said this earlier, and I really firmly believe it. I don't care what happens the rest of this season. 2021 is one of those Giants years that it's going to go down like 93 and 71 and 82 and 78. This one is going to be remembered. I don't care what happens.
No, there's no question about it. It takes a really special place in the lore of the team, too, because, all those years you mentioned, you're talking about veterans who have been around somewhere, and especially with the Giants, and they're all coming together at the same time. But this team, with guys who have been one after another picked up, by Farhan Zaidi, from a list of players who had kind of fallen out of favor. They came fairly cheaply. And there's just virtually the entire team is these guys outside of those core veterans that we always talk about. But there's so many of these guys, and even if they fade out at the end, the enjoyment they've given these fans, the fact that they're, I'm sure they'll be right there until September.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just an absolute blessing. And some of those teams, they didn't finish the way you would have liked, but you still remember them. You still remember Mike Ivey's grand slam. Mm-hmm. Stuff that characterized those teams. And you remember stuff like Talkman and Gausman lights out, and he looks like Marichal out there with the numbers he's putting up. And so it's pretty. It's a really distinctive kind of excellent Giants team.
Out of nowhere.
Yes,
I mean, look at the lineup.
So, yeah.
Look at tonight's lineup. You got Wade, who's got 78 at bats as a Giant, and maybe 175 in his whole career. And we're talking about, he's the next great right fielder. We got Yastrzemski, who started 30. We got Flores, who kicked around. Dickerson, who's got maybe half a season. Crawford, who's fabulous, the best shortstop ever in the franchise. Solano, who came out of nowhere after languishing in the minors. Duggar, who was almost released and has turned into a great center fielder. Casale, who was 3 for 70.
Yeah.
And this team is in first place by 4.5 games, and that's the marketing of this team. It's the fun to see how they're going to win.
Yeah, that's 6 guys who fall into that category. I mean, where the heck did they come from? Some of who we've never heard of before, plus Duggar, and Crawford. And it's just unbelievable. But the fact that it just keeps happening, you could easily figure that, well, this is great for a couple months, but it just keeps happening, and it just makes you think they've got something really going. And I think the fact that they all are caught up in this, that they believe in the coaching staff, they believe in Kapler, they believe in what they're doing, and even though very few of them have an absolute set role where they're in there every day at the same position, you know, when you're doing as well as you do, the team tends to come together and the chemistry stays intact.
Come on, add up the salary of the lineup, and you probably have the Chronicle sports staff in there. Before the buyouts,
yeah.
All right. Bill Lasky, what do you think? You were on one of those teams. What about this team? There are guys, Bill, with 78, 100 at-bats, and all of a sudden they're leading the league.
And they're playing every day now, Marty. That's even better. So, I mean, we're going to see how this translates, you know, especially with Brandon Belt. We just don't know where and how that's going to translate. And there's going to be other opportunities. But I want to ask both of you gentlemen today, you know, Thursday the Cubs had a no-hitter. They threw a no-hitter against the Dodgers. At the end of the game, Craig Kimbrell and his post-game remarks said, "I didn't even know there was a no-hitter going on." Now, he's the closer of the game. That's what he said. And I don't believe it. I think it was showmanship. I just don't believe it. He said, if I knew there was a no-hitter, I would have probably screwed it all up. I didn't know a no-hitter was going on. Well, you guys, both your thoughts. I don't agree with what he says.
Well, that's a funny line about screwing it up. I'm not sure why he would say that because, I mean, the game was at Dodger Stadium, so the fans weren't, you know, they were pretty quiet, but I mean, you have to know these things, don't you?
Well, here's the thing. I heard C.J. Nikowski. He was on Sirius MLB Radio, and he's talking about bullpens. I think it was him, maybe Brad Lynch. I forget who was on. And he said, listen, in Dodger Stadium, you can't see the scoreboard, so you don't know what's going on. And you get to the seventh inning, the phone rings, says, hey, get Chapin up. Okay, Chapin, you're going in the game. You get to the eighth inning, get Trebera. Okay, you're going in the game. And meanwhile, the bullpen guys are talking about everything under the sun other than the game, everything in the world. And it's like Jim Brosnan with the long season, Bruce, remember, you know, and you know, the bullpen chatter and all that. And he said, you know something? Because he questioned, just like you did, whether Kimbrell really knew what was going on. He says, right. I'll bet Kimbrell didn't even know what was. They said to Kimbrell, go ahead and finish the game. It's 4-0. And Kimbrell said, okay, give me the ball, and he went in and finished the game. And he believed that Kimbrell was telling the truth.
Well, it is conceivable. I mean, you talk to a lot of relievers here. What goes on out there? What are you talking about? And he might say, well, I can't even tell you some of the things we talk about.
That's true.
They certainly have nothing to do with the game, you know.
Well, Bill, you've been in – Bill, tell you. I mean, you've been through this. What do you think?
Well, I tell you what, the bullpen conversation goes through the game. It talks about the game. You do have coaches that are, you know, telling you who's coming up and different things of that magnitude, who could play the middle guy coming in the game. But at the same time, you're both right. The conversation sometimes isn't even about the game. It's about what you're doing with your family, where you're going, what are you doing. And people are like, well, why do you do that? Well, the conversation's keeping you relaxed. You don't want to start thinking about hitter after hitter, and you start getting tense. And I think that's the conversation part. I'm sure fans are like, what, you're not watching the game? Oh, yeah, you're watching the game, you're understanding the game, but you're not trying to put yourself under a microscope and start getting stressed out because you want to relax once you get that ball or that call, that phone call rings, you're up, you're ready to go. So I do agree with it sometimes, but at the same time, you know it's a no-hitter. I don't agree with that.
Look, the bullpen guys are not doing a talk show. They're not talking baseball. They don't say, it's the first inning. All right, Kimbrell, what do you think about the Dodger lineup tonight? I'm telling you, they're talking about everything under the sun.
You're not mic'd up.
Really? Well, Jim Brosnan and Jim – how about Jim Bouton in ball four?
Oh, God, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it gets pretty racy at times.
It's a good one for John Miller and Dave to chat about, or Dwayne and Mike – to see what their thoughts are on it. Well, we'll see what happens tonight, Bruce. It's Montas and Alex Wood. Any thoughts about tonight?
Well, it's just that my whole thing is you can never really anticipate what's going to happen in a pitching matchup, but I just think another, you know, night number two of a big crowd and that kind of energy. I mean, we've got a taste of it, but I mean, it's just now starting to really kick into people what this is like. Mm-hmm. I think some people out there are still a little bit reluctant to do a lot of things, even though they might have shed the mask for this and that. But, you know, they're just playing a little bit cautious, which I totally get. I'm doing that to a great degree myself. But, you know, you're watching on TV and you're going, oh, my God, this really back. You know, and that to me is whatever happens. I mean, I would expect the A's not to get shut out. I think they'll put some runs on the board. but it'll probably, I don't know, I see, both, you know, a 5-4 kind of game, but that's a wild guess. But what isn't a guess is what's it going to be like, because it's going to be great.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be fabulous, and if you line up early, you can get your Mike Yastrzemski bobblehead.
That's right.
Hey.
You know, and I'll be on Mario for this. You know, they should be giving 35,000 out. He knows it, but so that's the lines are forming. But it's great. It's just so good to see the park alive.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole thing. All right, Bruce, have a great night, and we'll talk to you in the morning.
Thanks, Bruce.
You bet. Talk to you guys then.
Okay, that is the great Bruce Jenkins.
Marty, I got to tell you
something. Go ahead. Go ahead.
A couple of our friends drove down from Nevada today. Kim and Ryan Hill, you met them at Fantasy Camp. They thought we were going to be at the public house, so they were standing around wondering where we were, and they reached out to me and said, "Where are you and Marty? How come you're not here?" So
you're
I
safe.
Want to reach out and say hello to them. They brought their two kids, Lucas and Dylan. They're wearing their Giants gear. They're ready to go into the ballpark, and I told them that you and I would tell them hello.
Beautiful, beautiful. But look, the Fantasy Camp people, I know we'll talk about this as the summer goes on.
Mm-hmm.
What a loyal crowd you have. I mean,
yeah, it's a fraternity,
people,
sorority. It's both. I mean, they're great fans.
Don't they? Mona and Christy and you know, the whole crowd.
You could go on and on. You could name them. I wouldn't want to start naming them because the other ones will say, "How come you didn't name me?"
I know. Mike Huey, the rest of them. But, yeah, it's quite a family, the Fantasy Camp family. It's nice. So good for them. I'm glad they came down and we're safe, and that's the main thing.
Yeah.
But we got baseball coming up. All right, we'll take a break. Larry Kruger, boy, I can't wait to chat with him about his thoughts about the Giants and what's ahead, and of some of the things we just talked to Bruce about. So that'll
for
be
sure.
fun. So at Sports Larry coming up at Sports Larry KMBR coming up. Larry Kruger next, right here on the Sports Leader.